Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to Jupiter, Florida, spring training home of the St. Louis Cardinals. Tom Ackerman with you. The show is live and on the air. We are here on St. Patrick's Day, looking forward to bringing you some baseball at 11:55. John Rooney has the call at 12:05 as the Cardinals take on a Houston Astros team that's going to face a tough lineup today. You look at this Cardinals lineup. We'll tell you what it is in just a moment. But let's start with the biggest news of the morning, and you'll hear from Ollie Marmol. I just had a chance to chat with him. I'll play that interview for you coming up in the 11 o'clock hour to start things off, because we talk about a variety of subjects. But first things first, we have Sonny Gray is going to start the season working his way back. He is not going to be the opening day starter. That was confirmed this morning by Ollie, telling me that Sonny Gray, with a hamstring injury, they're just being cautious right now. They are optimistic, he said, how the progression is going. He said that the hope is, and he's going to throw here in just a little bit, that is, he's going to throw again on the 21st. And as far as opening day goes, that means Miles Michaelis will be the starter, and they say they're excited to see it. I asked Ollie about Miles' reaction to that, and he said that he was excited about it. I actually talked to Miles just a little bit ago and told him that Ollie had announced him as the opening day starter, and he looked at me and he said yes. So Miles, I think, and I'll have a chance, you know, Miles was kind of running from station to station, so not a time to stop and chat. He's got work to do down here. But I would imagine that as tough as that is to have your ace not ready for March 28th, he's going to pitch soon. And for Michaelis, you know, it's a chance at redemption. I mean, last year he had no time to train for opening day. In fact, I felt like his opening day start last year was like a spring training start. The Team USA did him no favors in the World Baseball Classic. I'm not one of those that sits there and says the World Baseball Classic is bad. I think there's two sides to it. I understand that it's good for baseball. It was just not good for the Cardinals, especially in their situation of needing every single starter to be ready to go, because they gambled a little bit that their rotation was going to hold up, and it didn't. But Michaelis hardly threw for Team USA, and then when he started the season last year at Busch Stadium, he just looked off. I'm sure he felt off and felt like he needed more work. You know, he'd hardly got to work with Wilson Contreras, who was here during the World Baseball Classic, and then didn't have a chance to work together. Contreras was here. Michaelis was not. Wainwright was not. It was a mess. And so for Michaelis to be able to start down here, be in his routine, and that goes for everybody. And they had, what, like 6 days together before they broke camp as a group. That just doesn't work. You know, you've got to get your work in. And so for Michaelis to be able to do that down here, and he's looked good. He throws strikes. Yesterday, he pitched six innings. He gave up two runs. He gave up seven hits, but he throws strikes. He makes you make contact. Only walked one, struck out two. It's a good line. Six innings for Michaelis. So you want your veteran pitcher. And by the way, with respect to all pitchers, I think that Michaelis is made for days like that. He's not the ace of the staff, but he's a good game one of a series, good game one of a season starter. You want someone who's not going to get rattled by that circus. And make no mistake about it, that will be a circus on March 28th when Shohei Ohtani makes his debut as a Dodger, not to mention Yoshinobu Yamamoto. It's going to be wild over there. I mean, absolutely nuts. And so to have Michaelis just kind of settle in, throw strikes, get the guys behind him to make outs, and maybe he'll K a few guys here and there, and hopefully he goes six, maybe even seven innings, and sets up the bullpen. That's what you want, because the Dodgers are going to be ready to go. I mean, they're going to be swinging away. They're going to try to put a charge into that crowd, and perhaps Michaelis can feed off of that aggression, change speeds, and get through a nice little start, maybe take some of the air out of the Dodgers, because otherwise you could end up in big trouble. You got to play the Dodgers for four and then the Padres with Mike Shield as the manager for three. It's a tough way to start the year. So, you know, getting Michaelis out there is nice. Now, that's the positive. Here's the negative is you don't get to start your ace, and that's what everybody wanted. Everybody wanted Sonny Gray, three-year, $75 million deal, to come flying out of the gate and start for the Cardinals on opening day at Dodger Stadium. But that won't be the case. He is, again, scheduled to throw here in a few minutes. Then he is going to throw on the 21st, Ollie told me, is what the expectation is, what the hope is. And then at that point, you're a week away from opening day. You continue to monitor, and then at some point he joins this rotation. Meantime, the rest of the rotation, Kyle Gibson is going to throw on Tuesday. Cardinals are shut down tomorrow. They will not be practicing tomorrow. Gibson's going to throw the day game here on Tuesday. Lance Lynn, who looked really good in his last start, gave up one hit in four innings, struck out four. He will be starting on Tuesday night in Port St. Lucie. And Steven Matz will get back on the mound, and that's your rotation along with another spot. And Ollie still told me today it is a competition still between Zach Thompson, Drew Rahm, and Matthew Liberatore, who gets the start today. But I got to say that this Zach Thompson 2.0 or 3.0, for that matter, is great. I mean, he started out a very promising prospect, took some steps backwards. Then he came in, but he was a reliever, and then the Cardinals wanted to stretch him out to be a starter, and then he had some trouble, and then he came back and was great again. That was 2.0 last year down the stretch when the Cardinals whittled their rotation down because they were making trades. And he was really good, struck out a lot of people. But this 3.0, Zach Thompson, with a changeup that kind of looks like at times a knuckleball. I mean, it floats around there. Guys cannot hit it. The curve, which he throws two curves now. He throws a curve and then he throws a curve that's got a little more zip on it. And then, of course, he's got his regular pitches, including a fastball that still has some good velocity. Zach Thompson's got a clear opportunity here to make starts for the Cards. I don't want to take anything away from Matthew Liberatore. Maybe he looks really great today. Or Drew Rahm, who's been really good. But one of those two, probably both, will be starting in Memphis. I still think Libby, if you needed a long reliever out of the pen or someone who could come in from the left side and do some work, he'd be a good candidate for that. But at any rate, it's a three-man race for that final spot. Lutz Vandensteel is going to be calling in and joining us here momentarily at 10:15. So we're going to not take a break. We're just going to ride right through until we get Lutz on and get him on schedule. But what a night for City. They end up playing a 3-3 draw with Galaxy. And I know L.A. Was able to get that a 3-3 game. But for St. Louis to come back twice to make that a 3-3 match was really promising. So congratulations to them. And actually, he joins us now, the sporting director for St. Louis City SC. I just wanted to get right into it here. I'm down here in spring training still, but boy, a late night, exciting night for you in Los Angeles. Lutz, how are you?
Yeah, no, but still a bit tired. You know, we landed at just like after 6 o'clock. Was back home at 7, and then having a nice chat with you now before maybe sleeping another hour.
Yeah, let's get you some rest. But I do want to. I really was looking forward to talking to you, and I wanted to give the team really the option. You know, I know that it's tough travel, but it's a lot more fun when you're talking about points. How did you feel about last night, getting that point in what was a very exciting game?
Yeah, if you would have asked me before the game, you know, I thought if we can get here a draw, it's always difficult on the road, especially at LA and LA Galaxy, a team who just spent over $20 million to bring in new players. So we were pretty sure that we are the outsider here, but we do normally like this underdog role a lot. So before the game, I would have been very impressed, very happy with the point. Then the way it went, it was up and down. You know, it could have gone either way. I think they created a lot of chances. Bürki was standing on his head. I think what a game he had, unbelievable. And then, but then being 3-2 up that late, of course, it feels not good conceding that late. But looking overall at the game, how we played it, how we came back, I think there is lots of positives to take into the next game or into the weeks to come. And as I said, you know, 4 games played, we're still unbeaten. We had 2 really tough away games in places like Austin and LA, where not many teams will pick up that many points for sure in LA this year. And yeah, so overall, I think we really, really delighted with that point. And, you know, for you, something to think is they spend a lot of money on players, but you can't really buy, in my opinion, you can't buy a heart or you can't buy a mentality. And that's exactly what we showed yesterday. Everybody out there was fighting and grinding, and I'm very proud of the boys.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't wait to see the St. Louis City SC movie and all these players that come in and out of the game. I mean, the substitutions are a big deal. I mean, don't they play such a big role in what you do? And Bradley Carnell, of course, is in charge of pushing those buttons. So far, so good.
Yeah, you know, it's about the I think in football, if you have 11 top players, in the end of the day, you can't win anything. So you need to have a big bench. You need to have a good bench. You need to have not big differences of the level of players, and you need to be able to rely on all the guys who come from the bench. Said it last week, I say it this week. Whoever came on yesterday changed the game, did well, and that is our big thing. Also having Tim Parker, the vice captain, out, who tweaked his back a bit on Friday. Having Edu Löwen out, who just ran out to top form with a hamstring injury. That's 2 of our main players. That's 2 of our senior players. And then I think that point or that result counts even a little bit more.
No doubt about it. Nilsson's bicycle kick. Are you kidding me? I mean, things happen so fast in this game. How did you view that one? What was your viewpoint?
Yeah, first of all, I thought that Nilsson had a fantastic game yesterday. You know, Penn Steel, the right winger, who gave us nightmares all night, all day, and then I think a lot of nightmares on the plane. Nilsson somehow managed that with his experience to still cover a lot of ground on that side. And then scoring that goal, it's not something which he does every day. I'm telling you that in training, I haven't seen him doing a bicycle kick yet. I saw it yesterday evening, and it went in. Yeah, it was an amazing goal, probably the goal of the week for me, and it, in a very important part of the game, because that's when you thought LA could run away with it. Joachim used the chance. He picked up the ball. He smashed it wonderfully in the top corner. And, you know, he works hard for it. He deserves it, and I'm really happy for him.
What happened at the end of the game from your perspective? We mentioned that, you know, you could have had 3 points. You end up with 1, which is great. I mean, you want the point, but I know that without having talked to all of you, my feeling going into this interview was that you were very happy, but there was a little bit of bittersweet there because you want those 3. What happened there at the end?
Yeah, of course it's bittersweet. I mean, you know, going 3-2 up again from a set piece. Was it Kyle Hibbert? Was it the goalkeeper on own goal? I don't know. I want to believe it was Kyle, to be honest, who came from the bench, as you said before. And then getting 8 minutes of added time on, I still try to figure out why it was 8 minutes. You know, we had in the first half already 5 minutes, so it would have been a total amount of 8 minutes. I would have said, okay, I understand it. 5 plus 8, that's 13 minutes. and I didn't study mathematics, but in my opinion, it's far too much and far too high of numbers. And then you're getting this pressure. They want to pull that one back and conceding from a set piece after having last week conceded also from a set piece was, yes, it was annoying. It was disappointing because we could have defended it better. And then you go inside the changing room and you should see the faces of the players or how quiet it was. And everybody felt, of course, we could have really surprised everybody to walk away with a win. But then again, look at the whole game. Look at all the chances on both sides. I think we, as well as LA, can be happy with that point and move on.
You know, Bradley Carnell said that, and this is Lutz Vandensteel, sporting director of St. Louis City SC, joining us for a few more minutes on KMOX. We always love these conversations on Sunday. 3-3 was the final late last night against the LA Galaxy, and they are back in town. City is back in St. Louis. You've played four MLS games, Bradley said. He said in the locker room that they haven't really needed Roman, but with this team, they needed everyone to perform as a collective. And he said, on a night like this, we needed Roman to be at his best and lead the way as a captain should do. Can you explain to listeners, because when we talk about Roman Berkey and we rave about him, it's not always about making saves. His saves are great. But what else does he do over the course of a game to lead your team, Lutz?
Yeah, I mean, you know, of course, it all comes with the performance. It all comes with attitude. It all comes the way you show the boys during the week in training. And whenever he concedes a goal in training, whenever he loses a little game in training, or I think if he plays Monopoly at home and he loses, you know, he just literally loses it and gets really angry. He's just a born winner. He wants to win everything he does. He's a perfectionist, and that's how he also helps and supports the players. So for him, yesterday, conceding three goals but playing that level, you know, it was also bittersweet. Because he did everything right. And then coming again, the interesting part is here. Yesterday, he had a lot of opportunities to make saves. Yes, there was many big saves. But in the weeks before, he didn't have that many saves to make. But the saves he did make were really important. So think back about the New York City game. We are 1-0 up. It's the 47th minute, so just before halftime. And he makes that one big save. And that is the game changer. So yesterday, he had 3-4 of them. Haven't he been that good yesterday? We would have been 2-1 down, 3-1 down, and there would have been no way back. But how calm he is in goal, the kind of the perfection and the appearance he has for the other players, it's just a huge thing for us. And I love to repeat that sentence. I will do it over again. If you ask me next week, I say it again. For me, Roman Bürki is not just the best goalkeeper in MLS now. He's the best goalkeeper who ever played in the MLS. I would sign that, seal that, and send it to you also by UPS if I have to, because I'm 100% convinced of that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he is. He is your MVP. He is the best in the business. And I know it's early in your existence, but at some point, you know, it's looking like they're going to have a statue of that man outside that stadium at some point. I mean, City Park, that beautiful stadium, is going to have all kinds of history. And, you know, just like advancing to down the road, that kids will – talk about City in that first couple of years, first few years, however long he stays, and that he was the one big name. And then there were, of course, a ton of others that made it happen, but that he stood tall and led this team. I love stuff like that. So City with a 3-3 draw, you are now 1-0-3. And the other remarkable thing is you've done these last two on the road, Austin and the LA Galaxy. Now you get to come home. You'll play three of the next four at home. You're going to play DC United coming up on the 23rd. Lutz, tell us about them. What are we seeing in the United this year?
Yeah, first of all, I really like that we are still unbeaten. You know, that's a very, very good position to play a home game next week. Now, DC United, there's a bit of a connection here because we traded Chris Durkin, who had a really good performance yesterday. For Jared Stroud and Lucas Bartlett, which were two of the, I would call it, original gang, who did a great job last year when they were here. But as you know, in professional sports, players come and go, and you can't keep everybody together. It's just that would be like more like a fairy tale. That's not reality. And that move happened. So for them two to come back tomorrow, next week, I think that's definitely a big one for them, but also for us. We want to welcome them. They did a great job for us, as I said. But on the other hand, you know, it's a home game for us. DC, they started well. They have a new coach, new sporting director, lots of new players. It's a team who have a complete different face as they had last year. They're much more dangerous. They're better organized. They try to play a similar game than we do. I don't think they're there yet when it comes to the pressing and counter-pressing, but they have a coach who can do it with a Red Bull past who so far already changed a lot of good things. So definitely a game where we have to be very careful because they have good level. We spent Teke, they have a former Premier League player, which is an absolute top striker. But then again, we're playing at home. We want to keep our unbeaten streak. And, you know, at home, you want to win that games. So for us, we will work hard this week, get over the red eye tomorrow, have four good training sessions to build up before the game against DC, and then do everything that we can keep that 1-0 and maybe add a second win.
Really good stuff. Appreciate you taking some time, especially after a long travel morning. We invite you to, of course, get some rest and then bounce right back at it this week as you prepare for DC United. Congratulations on earning a point last night, Lutz, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Sporting Director, St. Louis City SC, Lutz Pfannenstiel with us live on KMOX Radio. We are coming to you from Cardinals Spring Training down here in Jupiter, Florida. We will take a break. We'll come back and let you know everything that's happened in college basketball and get you set up for Selection Sunday. We will learn by the end of today who is in the field of 68 in the NCAA tournament. And unfortunately, some programs are going to be very disappointed because there have been some surprises that have come out of these conference tournaments. Back in a moment from Jupiter, Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. I'm Tom Ackerman, Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Gray Bar.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman back with you. We are in Jupiter, Florida, spring training home of the St. Louis Cardinals. Let's shift our attention. We've talked a lot of baseball and soccer out of the gate. The other big story is college basketball. This is Selection Sunday, and we are going to learn in just a little bit later today who the teams are that will be in the field of 68. You're going to find that some of these bubble teams and some of these hopefuls are going to get bounced. I'm not going to speculate on who they are because this committee, I'm telling you, they will ride, in my opinion, they will go with a bigger program over a smaller one if given the opportunity because of what I think is sometimes a better viewership or a more familiar storyline. I'm not going to say a better storyline, a more familiar storyline, just because the bigger programs get bigger exposure. But, you know, I'll just say it right now, if Indiana State's not in this thing, it is an absolute sham. I mean, Indiana State was incredible all year. They were a top 30 net. If they don't get the nod, it is a joke. And by the way, they would be an outstanding NCAA tournament team with Robbie Avila running things. He has all the nicknames, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd, whatever you want to call him. He would be an absolute star. And by the way, if they get into your region, you better hope they don't, that they will run somebody. But I think people forget how good they are because they haven't performed in a week. It was last week that they won the Valley, and that's the only problem is that you sort of, you know, they become forgotten because everything in sports and in today's society is about what's going on right now. The other problem is that NC State won last night. They won the ACC tournament. Good for them. They won 5 games in 5 days. It's an awesome story for them, no doubt about it. I mean, it's incredible what they were able to do, but that's going to bounce somebody. Oregon beating Colorado to win the Pac-12 is going to bounce somebody. And who knows? I mean, it could happen because some other teams made it far enough. I'll tell you who is a legit contender for the Final Four, though, is Illinois. If you're not ready for Illinois, and if they're firing on all cylinders, Brad Underwood's going to annihilate somebody. I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. had 40 last night against Nebraska, and Nebraska's good. They jumped all over Illinois in the first half, but he made the necessary adjustments, and then he just wore Nebraska flat out. I mean, they just dominated Nebraska in the second half. They scored 58 points in the second half and won that game 98-87. I mean, there are not a lot of Big Ten teams that can run like that. That is super impressive. They're playing Wisconsin, who loves to slow the game to a crawl, So it's kind of a fascinating matchup today at 2:30. But at that point, you know, we'll see if what the Badgers have left after battling Purdue. I would imagine that Illinois is going to win that ball game. Wisconsin beat Purdue yesterday to get to today, the Big Ten final in Minneapolis. Also of note, the SEC, another team that I think could be devastatingly good in the NCAA tournament is Auburn. Auburn got off to a bit of a slow start, and now they are just crushing teams. I mean, just absolutely crushing teams. They won yesterday against a pretty good Mississippi State team, 73-66, physical team. But, I mean, they smoked South Carolina by 31. They beat Georgia. They beat Mizzou like a drum, scored 101 points on them. They are really, really tough, and they're in the championship today against Florida, who's been very surprising and has been running people themselves. But, you know, they score a lot of points. That plays right into Auburn's hands. Auburn plays fast and furious, and they should win that game today in Nashville and win the SEC tournament. Other games from yesterday, Connecticut, to me, they're still the best team in the country. They beat Marquette 73-57 to win the Big East. Houston got just blown off the court by Iowa State 69-41. I don't know what that's all about. I mean, you could say that these teams take their foot off the gas in the conference tournament because they already know they're in and already know they're a number one seed in some cases, but that's embarrassing. Wow. Iowa State wins 69-41. Those were the big games yesterday in college basketball. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, the story of Dan Rolfes and Incarnate Word. They win the state championship with heavy hearts. Back in a moment in Jupiter, Florida on KMOX.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. Always great to be with Ryan Helsley. I enjoy our conversations. And the Cardinals closer down here in Jupiter, how are things going for you?
Going well. You know, it's nice to get back out there and have a few innings under my belt now and, you know, kind of get back in the swing of things. And it's always fun to just get back out there and compete.
You ever think back to when you first came into this organization and how you have climbed as a pitcher? I remember when you first came in, you're like, who is this guy throwing? He can get up there in triple digits, but there's a difference, isn't there, between throwing and pitching?
Yeah, for sure. You know, you learn that. I think it's a daily, you know, grind of trying to understand yourself and what you need to work on that day and just figuring out what you have to work on day in and day out. And, you know, there's always room to grow and improve, and I think that's something, you know, a lot of the greats in the game kind of preach is, you know, there's always somewhere you can, you know, work on some stuff and, you know, improve yourself.
Key to this game and it has to be consistency, isn't it? I mean, there is a huge, huge difference between throwing a ball to a spot and then doing it consistently over time.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think that's the biggest difference between guys in the big leagues that stick and in the minor leagues, hitter or pitcher. You know, it's just, can you count on that guy to be the same guy 99.5% of the time? You know, I think that's the true definition of what a big leaguer is, because, you know, there's a lot of kids out there in the minor leagues that have a lot of talent just as much as guys in the big leagues, but that's probably the biggest separator.
What is your day-to-day? So on today, as we're talking here in the morning, you worked out, you did a little long toss, but there are days. Can you take fans through that? Occasionally you'll throw a bullpen. Of course, you have game appearances and how that all works out.
Yeah, spring training is a little more laid back than season. Obviously, it's more regimented and scheduled out. And, you know, right now we're throwing like every third day. So you'll just get some long toss in, maybe a short box if you want to touch the mound the day before. Lots of recovery, a couple workouts in here and there. Days you're not playing, days are pretty slow, you know, and then on the days you do pitch, you know, usually only out there for one inning anyway, so you got a good amount of time to get yourself ready and locked in to go out there and pitch.
When you're in spring training games, what are you trying to go through? The key word is training. People do remember that this is practice. What are you working on when you're out there?
Yeah, for sure. I think just getting adjusted to the game speed again. You know, you spend 4 months not pitching in a game and, you know, come back out here and see hitters for the first time and fans and umpire. And so you just want to get acclimated to that again and get back out there and just harness that energy, you know, that you get from those game situations and, you know, use it to your best ability. So, yeah, just going out there and for me, just wanting to feel my direction toward home and, you know, just wanting to throw strikes and attack guys early and, you know, get that feeling back of getting guys out.
We always talk about relationship with catchers, how important that is. What does that mean to you? Wilson Contreras, Ivan Herrera, there are others, but those will be your main two.
Yeah, you know, it's really important. You know, those guys have a lot of experience with us from last year now and Herrera from 22 as well. So I think that's big for catchers, understanding guys and knowing what they're comfortable throwing and what counts and in what locations. And, you know, I think that's kind of how Yadi was so good. He understood pitchers maybe better than they understood themselves sometimes, you know. So, I mean, whatever he threw down, you know, it gave the pitcher confidence. And that's the same way with these guys. You know, if they call a pitch and, you know, they have a reason for it. And that, as a pitcher, that gives you confidence to throw it, I think.
What is Wilson like off the field as a teammate?
Yeah, Wilson's great. You know, he's a pretty easygoing guy, pretty laid back. Obviously, he's a freak. He's super strong, gets after in the weight room, and just a fun guy, always in a good mood off the field and just, you know, good environment in the clubhouse for us. And, you know, he's a leader back there, and I think he's taken to helping this next wave of catchers. And, you know, I think they're wanting to learn and, you know, just pick up from him, and he's good for us.
One other spring training thing is PFP, mm-hmm. Pitchers fielding practice. That's an important thing because you don't get to do that as much, right, in the regular season?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot different. It's hard as a pitcher. You know, you're out there 95%+ throwing pitches, and you know, you got to field the ball, and you're probably throwing it, you know, 60 or 70% of what you're throwing to home plate. So it's a little different throw, and it's important to get those reps. And, you know, we do a good job back here on the backfields early on of throwing lives and stuff and doing PFPs mixed in there to kind of get that feel and understanding what you need to do to make those plays.
Ryan Helsley's with us. Hels, I've asked you this before, but what is it like to come into the game at home? They shut the lights off. They put those red lights on. They play the music. It's your time. Does that give you extra motivation?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's exciting and it's fun. You know, it's one of the bigger moments of the game when you're coming in and, you know, the fans get excited and it's, you know, like you said, the lights are off and you kind of feel the slight roar of the crowd, you know, getting excited for the moment. And it's just a lot of fun. You know, it's something I enjoy and, you know, just try to make the most out of each moment and, you know, just have some fun out there.
It takes a special person to close a game. You got to have the stomach for it, I would imagine. But you also, as a relief pitcher, anybody in this game, how do you overcome something that happens against you? So let's say you give up a game-winning hit, yeah, bouncing back the next day.
I think just telling yourself that's part of the game, you know, not that you're, you know, okay with failure, but, you know, failure is an opportunity to grow and just understanding, you know, every day is a new day in this game and it's another opportunity. And, you know, you truly never know what's going to happen in any game. So just going out there and just trying to compete one pitch at a time. And, you know, that's all you can do and just try to control the things you control and take it from there.
Just a couple more things. You grew up in Oklahoma. I've never asked you this question. I know you didn't go to school at either of these places. Were you OU, Oklahoma State fan growing up?
A little bit of both growing up. You know, I went to some football games in high school on some, you know, light recruiting trips. And so that was always fun going to OSU. And I was a big OU fan growing up. My parents liked OU. And for baseball, I don't know. I think OSU I would have liked more. It feels more like a college town, you know, like a smaller vibe, family vibe. And nothing against OU. But I think, especially now, man, OSU's facilities are insane. And
yeah.
Might be known more of a baseball school than OU, I would say right now, probably.
Well, and the Cardinals, you know, pipeline with Holiday and everything. And then lastly, you know, you're a member of the Cherokee tribe.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you when I say that and when people talk about it?
Yeah, you know, it's just a part of who I am and, you know, growing up there in Tahlequah and that being the capital of the Cherokee Nation. So, I mean, it's important to me to go home when I can and give back, and you know I worked out some there at the high school this year and was around those kids and stuff a little bit, and I think it's important just to let those kids know, you know, that I was in the same shoes as a lot of them and grew up in the same area and came from the same background and stuff, you know, and faced similar stuff growing up, you know. So I think it's important for them to know that they can accomplish their goals and dreams, you know, whether that's sports or going to college or whatever it may be. And I think as a kid you're very impressionable, and seeing people who are successful from a young age and being around them is huge. You know, I think it almost kind of takes the unknownness of, you know, what an adult's being like. And, you know, you can see that it's possible to accomplish your goals and dreams, because, you know, life's scary out there when you grow up, and it's a lot different from when you're in high school. And, but yeah, I think it's a lot of fun for me to go back and be someone and for those kids to see.
It's well said. Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, you got it. No problem.
Ryan Helsley on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Tom Ackerman with you. We've done a lot this hour. Next hour, big, big baseball hour. Before I say a word here about Incarnate Word and Dan Rolfes, I just wanted to promote what's coming up next hour. We have, first of all, Ollie Marmel. The Cardinals manager agreed to visit with me right outside the clubhouse, so you will hear him talk about Sonny Gray, who is not going to start opening day for the Cardinals on March 28th. He will explain why that is and why Miles Michaelis is next up. He will be the opening day starter officially on March 28th in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Also, you will hear John Mozeliak, who spoke about Ollie Marmol's contract extension, what that means and why that happened. And then I come back to Ollie for an interview further. We continue our discussion about that very thing. Our contract discussion will be coming up following the 11 o'clock news here on KMOX. So we're going to hear Ollie talking about Sonny Gray. In our second segment, it's about his contract extension, in which we hear from John Mozeliak and then Ollie visiting with me. And then I transition right over to, it's always nice when the boss agrees to sit down with you, and Bill DeWitt Jr., the Cardinals chairman, will talk to me further about why now, why the timing of this extension for Marmol, and also some words about his team when I ask him the question, do you have the right group of players in that clubhouse behind us to take you where you want to go? We'll get the answer from Bill DeWitt Jr. on that. We'll also hear in this hour from Lars Nootbaar, very important piece to the Cardinals. And I think, you know, with all the movement here in this outfield, it has maybe been a little bit forgotten how good he is. He's not a center fielder. He can do it, but he's not really projected to be the starting center fielder. He'll mostly play left, but he needs to get healthy first. And he kind of takes us through the injury, how it happened, and what he's doing to get back. I can give you some news that he was out there throwing today, so that is big progression for him, but I did have a chance to talk to Lars about it. And then we'll close the show with Brendan Donovan, and I really appreciate Brendan's thoughtfulness and what he is doing for veterans with Team RWB. That stands for Red, White, and Blue, and he will explain his work with veterans. He comes from a military family, so it is a perfect fit for Lars Nootbaar. Well, you know, as a human being, you look at this story with Incarnate Word and your heart gets heavy, and you think about these kids and what they are going through with the loss of their coach. A coach-player relationship is very special, and that is what Dan Rolfes has with this Incarnate Word team. And he was said to be joking with reporters, and after a semifinal win on Friday, and it's a lot on a coach and on a person, but you never can be prepared for what happened next. and that is that Dan Rolfes collapsed. He was attended to immediately. He had chest pains. They called it a medical emergency, and they took him to the hospital, and he was listed in critical condition. I was reading the Post-Dispatch story about it when that happened that night, and there were some facts in there about him scheduled to receive a stent after a blockage was discovered. And Dan Rolfes, who is 52 years old, he is a stalwart in our business. I mean, this team has won 131 straight games, all of those things. The human element is this is what sports are all about. It's about people and about relationships. And so the numbers, to me, you throw all of that out. It's about what he has meant to the program as a person, his preparation, his care. He is a father figure to so many people. And they go out the next day and they win a state championship, knowing that their coach is in the hospital fighting for his life. I can't even imagine the swirl of emotions that went through the huddle, through the court, through the crowd. And so my heart goes out to a great man and basketball coach, and prayers to him and to the Incarnate Word family. We are thinking about you, Dan Rolfes. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Big hour, sports on a Sunday morning, next hour on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.